This is a reading of The Origin Scroll, Volume 1 of the Tarka Trilogy, by Richard S. Tuttle. Chapter 6, Sarek. Sarek stormed into the laboratory. Mordak was peering into a crystal ball that was clamped into the skeletal jawbone of a long-deceased Yaki. "Have you detected his presence yet?" demanded Sarek.
"Not yet," replied Sarek's young assistant.
Mordak stood and straightened his long black robe. He removed his black cap and brushed his fingers through his curly brown hair.
"The Yaki attacks covered the entire Gordo region. Most of the villages in the region no longer exist. Are you sure that his hidden laboratory is in that region?"
Sarek laid his long wooden staff on the table and eased his tall, slender body into one of the chairs.
"No, not really. It is where I last sensed Egum's presence, though."
Sarek's black sunken eyes looked weary. For years he had been searching for the library of his old master, the library he was sure that contained the references he needed to find the origin scroll. He threw his black cap on the table and tossed his long black hair over the chair back. Perhaps he didn't think the Yaki were a significant threat to the kingdom. Perhaps he is so well hidden that he wasn't even aware of the Yaki invasion.
"Maybe," began Mordak, "we should spread the Yaki attacks to the surrounding regions."
"No," Sarek stated, twisting his long black mustache. "I think the Yaki attacks may have gone unnoticed outside the Gordo region. What we need is something so outrageous that the entire kingdom will be alarmed. Something that will force Egum to show his hand."
"What about melting the snow on the Boulder Mountains?" asked Mordak. "That would cause tremendous flooding on both sides of the mountains."
"That might cause a lot of deaths, but it would not force the kingdom to mobilize their entire army."
"No," answered Sarek. "We need something that will threaten the very existence of the kingdom. Only something so severe will guarantee that Egum comes out of hiding. His love for the kingdom would force him to put himself in peril to save the day."
"Okay," Mordak countered. "Suppose we gather all your masters and assistants together and stage an attack at each of the kingdom's garrisons."
"A waste of my resources," replied Sarek. "Some of my magicians would be killed, and there would be no long-term tangible threat to the kingdom to rally against."
Sarek rose and walked to the window of the ancient castle. The castle in the disputed area had been in great decay when Sarek found it. Now it was a veritable fortress. His gaze moved to one of the towers where a pair of his goblin archers were changing watch. The goblins were a ferocious race, if somewhat lacking in intelligence. Perhaps he could convince Guldar, the king of the goblins, to begin harassing the kingdom. He would have to offer Guldar something tangible in return. Guldar, while not the smartest person around, was very intelligent for a goblin. He would realize that the goblin losses would be great. Sarek would have to find something that the goblins greatly yearned for.
"Mordak," commanded Sarek, "I think we will have the goblins help the Yaki attack the kingdom. The threat of goblins would demand the attention of King Eugene. I want you to set up a meeting with Guldar. Tell him that I want to discuss a matter of great importance to both of us. Then I want you to hang around his camp for a while. See if you can gain some insight into something that would cause the goblins to die while attacking the kingdom."
"When do you want the meeting?" asked Mordak.
"I want the meeting set for some time after you have gained the information that we need to ally him," answered Sarek. "Tell him 6 months from now. If you have not found the information by then, make some excuse to delay the meeting another 6 months. Do not give Guldar any clue as to what the meeting will be about. I do not want to rush the attack this time. If Egum realizes that we are using these attacks to flush him out, he will purposely stay hidden. I would rather wait and guarantee that we can find Egum, than rush it and foil another attempt. I will be spending some time in Lenore. I have heard through one of our black devils that there is a large library at one of the temples down there. I will gain admittance somehow and peruse their volumes. If you need to contact me, send the message via our black devils, unless it is urgent. Remember, the use of mind speak over such distances would expose us to detection." Your will, master, submitted Mordack. Sarek had a long journey before him. He could not use magical means for this trip without certain detection by Egum. Very few magicians had developed their powers to that extent, and he was sure that Egum would take notice of such an event. Still, he would be free to use many spells that could be detected only by someone within a general vicinity of the caster. Sarek grabbed his cap and staff and went to the stables. It had been a while since Sarek had been on a long trip with Calderon, his great black horse. Calderon was a Sordoan stallion, the finest available anywhere. Sarek dug his heels into Calderon and set off for the coast. His first sizable town would be Bordon, on the border with Cordonia. There he would have to start disguising himself. Not only did Egum have spies everywhere, but he didn't want to be recognized by any of his own black devils, lest they inadvertently give him away. He would check with some of his black devils along the way, but only those who were considered the most reliable. After a week into his journey, Sarek ran across a band of Yaki scavenging for food. The Yaki had simple minds and were easy to control, but these Yaki were starving. They would not be controlled. Their minds had shut out what little thought they were capable of, and raw instinct for survival had taken over. Sarek blasted the first few with simple fireballs and lashed Calderon with his staff. Calderon took off at a gallop. The Yaki might out-sprint the stallion, but they would never be able to maintain the pace. Sarek looked back and cast a couple of tree mines. The tree mines hit their target, and two giant trees exploded in a mist of wooden slivers. The slivers sliced into the ranks of the Yaki. Those that weren't immediately torn to shreds hesitated long enough to ensure Sarek's lead. Sarek mused that it would be in poor taste to be eaten by the very Yaki he had unleashed. On approaching Bordon, Sarek chose his first disguise. He chose the bright green tunic of a Cordonian carrier and rode into town. He looked forward to a fine meal and a decent bed for the night. He dismounted in front of the Wagon Wheel Inn, as it was the most gaily painted building in town and looked fairly new. He was not interested in sleeping in some old, musty room. He tossed the reins to a small boy outside the inn and told the boy to feed and stable the horse. Sarek went into the inn and ordered a meal and a room. The meal was satisfying, and Sarek lay in bed feeling elated. It actually felt good to be off traveling the land for a change, not studying or reading old scrolls. Sarek contentedly drifted off to sleep. In the morning, Sarek left the inn and went to the stables to retrieve Calderon, but the stallion was not in the stables. The stable hand had never received a horse from the small boy. Sarek was furious and went in search of the little boy. Sarek found the boy playing in an alley alongside the butcher shop and demanded to know where his horse was.
"I tied him up to the post at the inn," said the little boy.
"I told you to take him to the stables," asserted Sarek.
"My father doesn't allow me to go to the stables," whimpered the boy. "He says it's too dangerous being by those big horses."
"Well, you are going to find my horse," demanded Sarek, "or I will turn you into a toad." The little boy started crying loudly, and Sarek did not want the attention the boy's crying would bring. Yet the boy must be punished. Sarek walked to the end of the alley, then turned and hurled a fireball at the youngster. A smoldering pile of ashes was all that was left of the little boy. With a smile of satisfaction, Sarek started searching the town for his horse. Sarek soon found that there were only two places in town with horses besides the stables, Tulik Shipping and the Dalek Shipping Company. He tried Dalek's first and did not find his black stallion. A sandy-haired boy offered to let him look around, and Sarek satisfied himself that the horse was not there. He walked up the road and entered Tulik Shipping. Remor was quite rude to the stranger and denied knowing anything about the horse. He also refused to allow Sarek to look for himself. Sarek was not in the mood to be treated rudely and thought about frying Remor on the spot, but decided he should be more subtle and stepped outside to plan his attack. Just then, three wagons stopped outside Tulik Shipping. The sandy-haired boy he had spoken to before asked if he had found his horse.
"No," replied Sarek, trying to remain calm.
I have searched everywhere, so whoever stole him has hidden him.
Well, said the sandy-haired boy, we're heading south as far as Balfour, and you're welcome to ride with us if you wish.
I really need to find my horse, Sarek replied.
Suit yourself, stated the boy, but we're the only ones heading south for a week, and you won't even be able to buy a horse in this town.
Wait, Sarek shouted. I do believe that I will take your kind offer. He would have to find his horse on the return trip.
Hop up, said the boy. I am Oscar. Welcome to my caravan.
Thank you, Oscar. My name is Carson, stated Sarek.
My pleasure, Carson, replied Oscar. You will be able to buy a horse in Balfour. It is a larger town than Bordeaux.
Just outside of town, the caravan met up with 6 armored horsemen, and Sarek steeled himself for an attack.
Oscar sensed the tautness of his passenger and said, It's okay, Carson. They're with us. There have been too many robberies in these parts, and Remor has been itching to get at me. So we have our own security force. Sometimes they travel alongside us so that the bandits know what they're here for. Sometimes they are nowhere to be seen, which keeps the bandits guessing. It's worked out pretty good so far.
Oscar was pleasant company for Sarek, and he actually enjoyed riding with the caravan, even if it had cost him some time. One night Oscar got to talking about his hometown Bordeaux, and how nice the people were. Sarek sneered when mention of the town brought back memories of a stolen horse, but he also realized that if Oscar lived in Bordeaux, he might be able to retrieve his horse.
Oscar, he said, if you can find my horse, I will give you something of great value.
Oscar laughed. Carson, that is not necessary. I know where your horse is.
Sarek was incensed. Why didn't you tell me then?
Oscar answered, Carson, there is only one person in that town who would steal your horse, and that is Remor. Your horse is up at his master's house, the stone house on the hill. I didn't tell you while you were in town, because I didn't want to see you killed. Tulik has armed guards at his house, and he wouldn't have let you in anyway. I am heading back to Bordeaux as soon as I load my cargo. I promise you that I will get a detachment from the garrison to fetch your horse, and it will be waiting for you on your return from Balfour.
Sarek considered Oscar's statement. He wasn't coming back for some time, and when he did, he wouldn't look like Carson.
Oscar, he said, I have a longer journey than just to Balfour, but I want my horse safe. If you will retrieve my horse and keep him at the stables of this Dalek shipping company for me, I will send a friend to pick him up.
No problem, replied Oscar, but how will I know your friend when he arrives?
Do you see this ring upon my finger? Asked Sarek.
Yes, answered Oscar. It is very unique indeed.
Good, stated Sarek. My friend will give you this ring in exchange for my horse.
Showing me the ring will be good enough, said Oscar.
No, my friend, demanded Sarek. You have done me 2 good deeds, and I wish not to be indebted. This ring is more than gold. It is a magical ring that I found many years ago. It warms your finger when someone is lying to you. That's why I knew this Remor was lying to me, but I still did not know where my horse was. No, Oscar, I wish you to have it, and my debt to you will be paid.
A magical ring I cannot refuse, said Oscar. If I can be of further assistance, Carson, please do not hesitate.
Sarek departed the group on the outskirts of Balfour. After the caravan was out of sight, he changed into red and black outfit of a Sordoan emissary. His hair was now short like the typical Sordoan, and he looked like he had gained 20 pounds. His skin was wrinkled, and his temples were starting to gray. Carson was gone, and Abdul was here. Sarek smiled when he thought about Oscar's delight over the ring. It was merely an inexpensive ring with a spell cast upon it. He would purchase another ring in Balfour for himself and properly prepare it. Sarek had a trustworthy black devil in Balfour named Lagor. He would use Lagor to get the horse and deal with Remor. He found Lagor's house and knocked. A young man with short blonde hair entered the door to find an emissary from Sordoa on his doorstep. The emissary gave a familiar hand signal, and the young man welcomed the stranger into his home.
I am Abdul, and I am seeking Lagor, stated Sarek. "Abdul is welcome in the home of Lagore," replied Lagore. "How may I be of service to the one above all others?"
"He requires your assistance in some trivial aid to this traveler," Sarek said.
"You will supply me with a horse. You will purchase for me a ring from the market. Choose one that is used and ancient-looking, but gold. After I leave, you will have a mission. The mission is to travel to Bordeaux and deal with a problem. You will give this ring that I am wearing to a man named Oscar at Dalek Shipping Company. He will be there for only a few hours, exactly 1 week from today. He will give you, in return, a great black stallion. You will bring the horse back here and stable him until someone calls for him. Then you must deal with a man named Ramor at Tulik Shipping. Do not be gentle. It should send a message to his master."
"His will, Abdul," vowed Lagore.
Lagore returned an hour later with the ring and a horse. Abdul left for Sertoa.
One week later, Lagore was sitting under a tree, waiting for someone to arrive at Dalek's. He had already inquired at the building and had been told that Oscar was in town on an errand and that he would return shortly. He saw a man coming from the garrison with a large black horse and went to greet him. Ramor was also watching.
"You are Oscar?" asked Lagore.
"I am," smiled Oscar. "What can I do you for?"
Lagore handed him Sarek's ring. "I was asked to give you this and retrieve the horse. Would you mind stabling him for me while I run an errand?"
"Not at all," agreed Oscar as he slipped the ring onto his finger.
Lagore turned and marched up the street to Tulik Shipping. He walked in and asked to speak to Ramor. He was led to the rear of the building where Ramor was hiding. Before Lagore realized what was going on, Ramor plunged the knife into his neck. Lagore never returned for the horse.
Sarek had just crossed the border into Sordoa. His attire granted him entry into the country with few questions asked. Here Sarek had a choice. The normal route to Lenore was down the east coast and through the Sordoan capital. The route through the great Sordoan desert would be 4 weeks faster, if a bit more hostile. Another personage was in order. It wouldn't do for an emissary to be roaming around the desert. This time Sarek chose a worshipper making a pilgrimage. He had aged bronze skin with white hair, and was wrapped in a white robe and turban. A wisp of white beard completed his look. Sarek wasn't worried about finding water. He had a spell that could accomplish that task, with almost no chance of detection. He really only had to pass up the more powerful spells, those which would set off alarm bells with Egum. He wondered where Egum was hiding. He almost certainly had to be within the borders of Targa. He had this foolish notion that it was his job to safeguard the kingdom, as if Targa cared for his help. Sarek would be happy when he put the old fool out of his misery. There was no one else who could challenge him, except maybe Kirsta. But Egum had thrown Kirsta out. Besides, the last thing that Kirsta would want was to be found by Sarek. They had an old score to settle, and he was sure that she wasn't going to win when they met. Still, there had been good years with Kirsta. He might even take her back if she groveled enough and if she cast the spell of the Black Devil. That spell would bind her to Sarek forever. She would never have the will to disobey him after that. Sarek spent the night at the Komen Oasis. During the night, three riders arrived. They were a desperate-looking bunch, and Sarek issued a ward of protection around his sleeping site. In the dark of the night, they came, looking for whatever they could steal. Simple fireballs would have ended the threat, but Sarek needed some amusement. He cast Thy Master's Hand at the largest of them. The spell enabled Sarek to manipulate the thief like a puppet. While the ward confused the two smaller bandits, the puppet attacked, slicing their throats. The remaining thief looked on in astonishment as he tried to drop the knife or throw it down. He could not, of course, for he didn't control it. Sarek forced him to turn the knife upon himself.
Sarek thought it amusing. The magician wondered if the thief's veins would burst before he thrust the knife into his own abdomen. The knife won, and Sarek returned to his sleep as the bandit's blood flowed into the sand. Sarek emerged from the desert and saw the towering peaks of the southern mountains. The mountains were snow-capped, but the pass that he was heading for was fairly low in elevation. He had no worry that it would be snowed in. The temple he was heading for was in Marchak, a coastal city about 2 weeks' ride from the other side of the pass. Sarek arrived in Marchak around noon. It was easy to find the temple of Risa, goddess of water. He had only to ride along the waterfront. Sarek needed a plan to gain access to the library. He decided to portray a monk from the temple in Clandon. Soon Sarek was Brother Timothy, a short, plump man of many years. He was bald and walked with a slight limp, requiring a walking stick. He was dressed in a pale blue tunic with dark blue sash that was characteristic of the order. Brother Timothy was, of course, old and slightly senile. That should help Sarek get around any breach in protocol. Sarek entered the temple and looked around. The temple was quite similar to other temples that he had seen, except, of course, for the color motif. Sarek strode to the altar and mimicked the motions of other devotees. He rose and hobbled through the large door off to one side of the altar. He went down the long corridor searching for the library. A young acolyte with blue tunic and white sash stopped him. "Excuse me, brother, but you seem to be lost. Can I direct you?" asked the young man.
"Help me," stammered Sarek. "Oh, yes, of course. I was looking for the library, but I seem to have lost my way. I do that so frequently these days, you know. I do pray that they stop moving things."
The acolyte was sympathetic to the old man. "The library is on the second floor still. You do have a pass from Brother Dominic, don't you?"
"I think I do. Wait, maybe that was for the temple in Taggarat. I'm not sure. Do I need one?"
"Oh, yes. You must have a pass from Brother Dominic, or they will not let you into the library," the young man replied.
"Well, perhaps you could get me a pass," solicited Sarek.
"I'm afraid that would be beyond my station, but I can lead you to Brother Dominic." The young acolyte led Sarek down the corridor and introduced him to Brother Dominic. Sarek had a slight feeling of apprehension. He had removed his truth ring, as the order forbade the wearing of jewelry. He would have no way of knowing if he slipped up until it was too late. He could not use his spells to protect himself and still hope to get access to the library. Any display of magic in the order would have the library locked up tight for some time. Magicians were always trying to gather spells and the other knowledge from the temples, and the orders saw the magicians as a threat to their continued status with the populace.
"Praise to you and your temple, Brother Dominic," greeted Sarek. "I am Brother Timothy from Clandon, and seeking entry into your esteemed library. Have we met before, Brother Dominic? Today, I mean?"
"No, Brother Timothy, we have not met today or ever," answered Brother Dominic.
"I am quite sure that I would have remembered. From the temple in Clandon, you say? I have not been informed of your journey to Marchak. What need do you have of our library?"
"Ah, I am on a quest throughout Lenore for information on the earliest sightings of our goddess Risa in the Clandon area. It was the subject of my paper many years ago when I was but an acolyte. Oh, how quickly the years have gone by. I am seeking in my final years those references that were not available to me in my youth. I am afraid I did not give a definitive schedule to my own temple, as I was not sure in which order I would be searching the temples of Lenore. So you see, Brother Dominic, yes, that's it, Dominic. So you can see, Brother Dominic, there is no way that they could have foretold you when I was coming."
"Yes, I see, Brother Timothy. Still, your visit is quite irregular," stated Brother Dominic.
"Perhaps you could stay with us for a while, and I could have some acolytes investigate our volumes for you. You would be welcome to join with us during that time."
"You are very thoughtful, Brother Dominic," smiled Sarek. "But I have never in my years allowed another to do my work. I am quite sure that the goddess would not approve."
Brother Dominic was caught. Brother Timothy was, of course, correct. The order taught that one should not rise above one's duty to the goddess, and he had already offered to allow Brother Timothy to stay. He issued a pass to the library, good until the visiting monk's work was complete. Sarek was so ecstatic he had trouble maintaining his limp on the way to the library. He climbed the stairs to the second story and showed his pass to the monk at the door. He stepped into the library and stood in awe of the massive number of volumes that lined shelves around the room. Sarek had no doubt that he would find some clue as to the whereabouts of the origin scroll here.